Canto 29. When I turned back to her, I heard the rest. Though she had done with speaking, she sang on as if in love. But how all those are blessed whose sins are pardoned! And I was far gone in thought of nymphs, alone in woodland shade, who wander, one alert to see the sun, the other to avoid it. So she made her way upstream against the rippling run, with little steps along the bank, and I kept level. In 100 strides or less, the two banks made an equal bend, and by my reckoning, which I'd call a good guess, we now faced east again. We'd not gone far that way, when suddenly she turned and said, "My brother, look and listen." Few things are sudden like lightning. This was. In my head, as brightness swept the forest all around, I told myself it must be lightning, yet, since lightning disappears as soon as found, and this grew brighter still, I hedged my bet and asked myself, "What's this?" And then a sound, a melody, ran sweet through shining air, and so my zeal for good caused me to blame Eve's boldness, that a woman, when and where all in the earth and sky obeyed the same divine will, should decline to further bear, for she was only just formed and alone, the veil of ignorance. For had she stayed submissive underneath it, I'd have known, like all men, this whole limitless parade of indescribable delights before, and for far longer. While I went among so many first fruits in the mighty store of bliss eternal, while my will was hung suspended in desire of all the more of joys and miracles, the air caught fire beneath the green boughs, and that lovely sound exploded into songs, choir upon choir. "Virgins most holy, muses, stony ground, cold, hunger, vigils, I have borne for you, not true? But now my need drives me to ask reward. Now let the whole of Helicon come through with what it owes me, all it can afford. Urania and her singers should step in to help me versify things hard for thought, such as the following." I can begin by saying that my puzzled eye was caught, a little further on, by 7 trees of gold, or what appeared to us as such. A false impression reinforced to please our credulous perception by how much distance remained from us to them. But when I'd come so near that these deceiving shapes remained ambiguous no longer, then the faculty which no deceit escapes, the power of reason, saw them as they were, as candlesticks, and heard the voices sing, "Hosanna!" And up there, without a blur, it flew alone, the lovely spreading thing. More than the moon in the clear midnight sky of her mid-month, that fine array was bright. I turned around with wonder in my eye to Virgil, and his look had the same light of sheer amazement, and I lifted high my face again to those things which moved near to us so slowly new brides would have been more quick. The lady scorned me. "You appear amazed by just the living lights you've seen. Where is your heed for what is not yet here, yet comes behind them?" I saw people, then, who followed, clad in white, white so intense as here there never was, and then again the water shone so to my left that hence, as from a mirror, came my left side back to my eyes when I gazed. When I was at the part where just the streamlet kept my track from meeting theirs, for a better view than that I paused, and let the flames move on, to stain like streaming pennons all the air behind with 7 tinctures, as the sun and rain bring forth a bow in colors of rich kind, and Delian Diana's girdle grows. Beyond my sight the banners went back, and as well as mortal eyes see or mind knows, the outermost exemplars of that band of candelabra were 10 paces set apart. Beneath the fair sky I describe, 2 dozen elders crowned with lilies met my gaze 2 at a time. "Among the tribe of Adam's daughters," they sang, "you are blessed, and blessed forever let your beauty be." The flowers and fresh leaves were left to rest on the far bank by that light infantry of the elect. As brilliance follows soon on brilliance there in heaven, came 4 more creatures on after, and these had the boon of green leaf crowns, and each one of the 4 had 6 wings, all their plumage full of eyes, and if the eyes of Argus were alive, they'd look like that. But lack of time denies that I be lavish with my rhymes, and strive in their depiction. Read Ezekiel, who saw them when they came in from the cold with wind and cloud and fire, and just as well as he described them then, his words of old applied here, save the figure of six wings that Revelation gives them meets my count and not his four. John had the truth of things in this respect and got the right amount. But anyway, between those four, the space contained a fine two-wheeled triumphal car drawn by a griffin, which employed the place on each side of the middle band, as far on each side as the first of three, to spread its wings among the colored streaks without cutting through any, and the wings instead rose so high that their tips left you in doubt where they might be. Where this bird could be said to be bird, it was all gold, and where man was white mingled with red. Nor even Rome had honored Scipio the African or great Augustus when it cheered them home with so exultant a conveyance. Not the sun itself could equal it. The sun whose carriage was destroyed when Phaeton got his signals mixed, and Jove paid heed to one of Earth's devout prayers. He chose to be just in secret counsel, and three ladies danced around at the right wheel. One, red as rust, was so red you'd have missed her as she pranced inside a fire. One more of emerald seemed made. The third looked like fresh-fallen snow. The white one first, and then the red one, called the time, and from that song's pulse, fast or slow, they moved. And on the left, four others tripped their festival. They were in purple, clad, their measure set by one who hopped and skipped, with three eyes in her head. The whole troop had, behind it, two old men in different dress from one another, but alike in grave and lofty bearing, their shared seriousness. One showed the spirit by which nature gave the world Hippocrates, to help mankind when ill. The other showed the opposite concern, for its sword lifted chilled my mind across the river's width, so brightly lit and sharp it seemed to castigate the soul. Then came four humble holy ones. At last an old man walked who slept, and yet his whole expression spoke for keenness. As they passed, the final seven looked clad like the first, except this time no lily crowns were worn, but roses and red flowers, an outburst of crimson round the brow I would have sworn from where I stood was fire. And then a halt was called. A mighty thunderclap was heard. The car had stopped right there. The storm's assault appeared to mean permission was deferred for that throng to go further. There it stood, the pageant, flags in front, the force for good.